Now, as I mentioned earlier, it's a very bittersweet interview for all of us on the couch today, because we are saying goodbye to someone who has been a contributor to the show for almost as long as I've been on air. Marijke Musson is the outgoing chief executive of the Two Oceans Aquarium Education Foundation. And over the years, we've chatted to her about all kinds of fishy business. She has shared so many interviews around her passion for marine life and for its conservation in this country and beyond our waters. It's always been inspiring. It's always been a fun conversation. And we're very sad that she won't be with us for very much longer as she prepares to bid farewell to the aquarium and to our city. We thought we'd take a moment today to reflect on her journey and some of the achievements that she's most proud of. Marijke, lovely to have you with us one last time on the show. Welcome to Cape Talk.
Tupper, thank you so much. I feel so privileged. You make me feel like a bit of a celebrity.
Well, you are the turtle whisperer, Marijke, so that definitely comes with celebrity status.
I'm like a turtle lover. I love all things ocean and people and planet. I love all things. But yeah, turtles are special indeed.
Marijke, our listeners have always known you by the job title associated with the aquarium. But let's take a few steps back and just fill them in on the background and your journey as a marine scientist. I believe you studied marine biology and ichthyology at UCT and Rhodes.
Yes, actually, but before I studied, of course, I mean, I think I need to add that I didn't grow up at the coast. I actually
really
spent half my childhood in Bloemfontein and the other half in Pretoria. So my ocean passion, I suppose, was just inspired by holidays at the coast, and okay. We used to go to Kaima off in Transkei, and my dad taught me to fish, and it's just that connection with the ocean. So, and I think I was like sort of the tipping point in my life with regards to the ocean was watching The Big Blue. I was obsessed with that movie and completely in love with Jacques Mariel, of course, and dolphins. So in high school, I was just like, I want to be a dolphin. And that's what I'm going to be when I grow up, which is really ridiculous thinking back. And then my parents were like, oh dear, what are we going to do about this? So they actually organized for me to spend time at the old SeaWorld. So it was Sambra and Orion SeaWorld facility in Durban. Mm-hmm. And assuming that I will go like, oh, it's so smelly, like fishy stuff's too smelly. But then, of course, I met so many scientists there, and I just loved it. So after 2 weeks, I was like, this is totally what I want to study. And the day after I finished school, I was actually, I think, still 17, moved down to Cape Town. And, sure, I just loved it and loved the ocean. So, yes, I studied marine science, added a bit of, I was very interested in the medical field. So that was sort of the other potential career choice. I did medical physiology as well. But through all of that, you know, I love networking and meeting new people. So I met Tony McEwen, who really was critically important in sort of developing the plans and the concept of the Two Oceans Aquarium. Mm-hmm. And then he said to me, once I'm done with my degree, I'm just going to knock on the door when there's an aquarium. And I bumped into him while studying on campus again, and he had all the plans under his arm, and he was so excited. So the minute there was a door to knock on, I was actually still studying. I went to the aquarium and said, I'm like, I'm just going to work here, and you don't have to pay me, but I just want to learn and work. And then, of course, I got to work with, at the time, the first, he was the managing director, Lex Burnett, and Dr. Pat Carrot, who was the first curator, and Vince Calder is still at the aquarium. He's retiring soon after 27 years.
Yeah.
So that, working with them was just amazing, and I actually saw Dr. Pat yesterday and said the impact that they had on my life was significant, because I obviously realized that I can't be a dolphin, that I actually have to be a human doing work and learning about the ocean and sharing that passion with people around me. But I learned how to care about marine animals and how to share information with people to inspire them to also care about the environment. So I call them my ocean gurus. And while we built the aquarium, it was the most incredible experience. And it's quite frightening to think that was like 26, 27 years ago. Because we worked through the night. I think we built the entire place and stocked it within 18 months, which is just crazy.
Wow.
But it was exhilarating. It was like just, we were on a permanent like fish high because we worked through the night and it was just incredible. And then, of course, opening the facility was so special, and being in the waterfront and watching people stream to this incredible educational facility, actually, which is an attraction as well.
Yeah.
And then after like a year or two, I think, of maintaining the place, because then our job scope changed a bit from stocking it, putting it together, learning, experimenting, to maintaining and making it look beautiful and amazing, I got a little bit bored. And I had this dilemma, because it's like really young, thinking, oh my hat, I've got the most perfect job, but I want to do more and learn more. And then I moved into marine research. I was actually based at the research equipment Sea Point, doing, I got private funding to do research on seahorses, of all creatures. And they, I mean, they're obviously amazing, these magical, fascinating little creatures. I really enjoyed that. And then by default, there was a student, Thomas, who was doing an honors project on cob eggs, so dusky cob fish, kabeljau eggs, to check once these little eggs hatch into larvae, how long they survive on their little yolk sacs before they die. And then the technical manager at the research firm, Alistair Busby, and I were both like, oh, no, this is such a weird project. Let's rather see if we can keep the larvae alive and how long.
Yeah.
And that was the start of cob farming, basically, in South Africa. And we realized, when you have like all the live feeds and things in place, which I had for seahorses, because they're very finicky little animals, actually, then it's reasonably easy to grow marine fin fish. And then my career moved into aquaculture, which is fish farming.
Mm-hmm.
And the investors I found at the time were incredible, because for them it was all about sustainability and finding solutions to protect the wild stocks in the ocean. And cob being a prime sort of species to protect, because I think it's less than 2% of original stock is what's left of kabeljau in the ocean. And then bearing in mind we've got a lot of healthy stocks as well, like, for instance, yellowtail. So we moved into that, and then it was fantastic again. It was crazy. It was research and trying to get funding and putting up a pilot-scale facility, a hatchery in Amanus, and we built a grow out farm in Joburg. So we made our own seawater, because of course the market for fish is really big in Joburg, and when you farm fish sustainably, it's actually really expensive. And the facility in Joburg was great because we had to really think out the box on, and because at the time it wasn't load shedding, it was just like power failures.
Right.
So we used to go and collect all the oil used by the restaurants we supplied, to utilize that to make biofuel to run our generators, because there were so many power cuts in Joburg at the time. But the climate wasn't ideal. It gets super cold in winter, and we had to use gas heaters to heat our heat pumps to heat the water. So eventually we moved this entire project to the Eastern Cape, which was lovely. So I spent a few years in East London, and it's such a lovely place, in a lovely environment, and warm, nice warm ocean, and a really nice place to go surf early in the morning. And of course, I've got two girls, Finn and Kai, so it is a lovely place for them as young kids to just have so much fun on the beach.
Yeah.
And yes, so it was years in aquaculture, and then commercializing it and working with big retailers like Woolworths and Pick and Pay, and a lot of really specialist restaurants who believed in the sustainability of the product. And of course, WWF Safi.
Yes.
So we managed to get dusky cob that's farmed on land, Safi Green, as a sustainable option. And it was, you know, we were forced to be very innovative again there in saving energy. We were off the freshwater grid, so we collected just rainwater off all these greenhouse tunnels, because we grew the fish in these tunnels, and developing feeds. And I think, especially after Seaspiracy, and I encourage all people to watch it to have awareness around fish, but aquaculture gets such a bad reputation all around. And you know, there's really good, responsible aquaculture, and then there is irresponsible aquaculture. But as a fish farm, or any, I think in any animal production, it's so important to make sure that your animals that you farm are really healthy and in a good condition, because otherwise you lose money. And sadly, the world revolves around money.
Yeah.
And I learned at the aquarium how to look after fish. And I applied that in aquaculture, and it helped me so much.
It's
really
fascinating.
Make sure that we got beautiful fish, you know, as a product. End of the day, of course, people eat it. But it was a great journey and great fun. And it always very fishy. And I was always very smelly, to be honest, from working with fish all day and feeding fish. And a friend of mine, her son wanted to be a marine biologist. And she said to him, "Alexander, my boy, have you ever stood behind Marika in a Woolworths queue?"
Marika, you know, it's fascinating to listen to this amazing journey from the fish conservation into aquaculture, back into the aquarium environment later on with the education sort of taking front and center there. I listened to you. I too spent childhood holidays at Kymouth fishing with my grandfather when cod were abundant and were pulled, you know, were everywhere to be caught. To think now that what you say, only 2% or so left in the oceans is so sobering. How hopeful do you feel, or not hopeful do you feel, about where we are right now? Because we know there is a crisis in many species in terms of what is left. There is also, though, a groundswell, or rather an ocean bed swell, I should say, of awareness and sensitivity, and people starting to make better choices and be more conscious. Do you think it's come too late, or are you hopeful that recovery might be possible?
I'm forever the optimist, so I'm extremely hopeful and optimistic, actually, because of the awareness. And the awareness is there because people really actually care, and because of environmental education and marine conservation education and the work we've been doing in the foundation, and through the awareness that the aquarium and many similar facilities create. So I would hate to ever go like, oh, it's too late to do anything about it, because we can. And in my sort of scientist head, you know, information is king. And if we share the correct information with people, they can make informed and responsible choices. So I never promote like stop eating fish altogether. I don't eat fish because for two reasons. The one, it's smelly, and I always smell like fish, and I don't love the taste all that much. And secondly, because it's always like my pet. It's a bit weird. I work with fish all the time, but you know what? There are sustainable options, and fishing is a livelihood for so many coastal communities. And to be able to protect our planet, we actually have to protect people, to inspire them to look after animals and the planet. So I always think is we need to do what's good for all stakeholders, and in this instance for people, the environment, you know, the species, the populations. And that's why those certification programs are really incredibly valuable, like a SASSI or ASC, which is for aquaculture, or MSC, which is the Marine Stewardship Council. And they really look at the impact of a certain type of fishing or aquaculture method on the environment, on the animals themselves and the population dynamics. And then it's very important, in my opinion, on the impact on people as well. So on the fish farm, I always said, what we do has to be good for the environment. The product, so the fish that you farm or work with, or the animal, let's say in an aquarium, has to be really, really happy. Otherwise, it's not going to grow, and it's just going to die, and it's going to lose money. And it needs to be really also good for the people who work there. So they need to be fulfilled and satisfied and happy and content and inspired by what they do, because then you're going to have a beautiful product or a beautiful story to share, and you're going to inspire the people in the rest of the world. So I'm super hopeful. Never ever before have the people of our planet been this aware of their impact on the planet. And it's so fashionable to be like green/blue. It's fashionable to be vegan. It's fashionable to have natural clothes, which is awesome. But realistically, also, it's a small portion of the world's population that can afford it. So to look for that balance is really important, and to find the balance, I always believe, is we have to collaborate. So my favorite term at the moment is radical collaboration. Everybody's got to work together. And to be able to make informed decisions, you need science, but you also need heart and passion and stories and heritage and culture and respect, you know, for different beliefs.
I'm going to pause you there, Marek, and ask you if you'll stay on the line. Thanks, Wes. We're back just wrapping up our conversation with Marek Mousson, who is the outgoing chief executive of the Two Oceans Aquarium Education Foundation, somebody who's done so much in the early days of the aquarium, getting the facility up and running and open to the public in all its glory, but more recently who has ploughed her energy and her passion for marine life and her skills and analytical scientific mind into spreading the word about the need to protect our ocean species. And Marek, lovely to hear you sounding so positive and hopeful in those comments just before the news. A WhatsApp in from somebody else who's trying very hard to drive education one step at a time. Caroline Hanks just sending a message to say, I know you are going on to do great things and inspire even more people to tread lightly. Sending you much love and bon voyage, but please do come back. Marek, what is the next step? I know you're actually moving to much colder waters, aren't you?
Yeah, so I am indeed. And again, it's actually quite ironic that I'm very much sort of known as a marine conservation sort of, I don't know, passionate person. And I'm going back into aquaculture, and which is a bit of a challenging thing to tell people now after Seaspiracy and everybody hating fishing and fish farming. But I'm really, really excited about joining a company in the Netherlands, actually. And it's an international company. And the reason I'm joining them, and it's just a fantastic opportunity, but, you know, I'm so excited about joining a huge facility that's off the grid. So I keep thinking, like, I'm sure the first month I'm literally just going to stand outside and stare at our own wind turbines and, you know, solar energy and also biogas, which is incredible. So the work that we did originally in developing cob farming in South Africa, is I'll be able to apply and practice that again, managing this facility. And they actually farm yellowtail. So it's called Dutch yellowtail. I actually asked them the other day, can we call it geelstaart? Because surely that's what it is in Dutch. So they're like, there's no Dutch word for yellowtail. But you don't find yellowtail up in the Northern Hemisphere. So there's a really big market in Europe as well as the States. So the company's also got a facility in Maine on the east coast of America. Okay. And where in South Africa, of course, it's still sassy green, so we've got healthy stocks of yellowtail, so the price is not competitive. And so I'm really, really excited about getting back into hardcore business. You know, I love working hard. I think most people would concur. Like I'm like a midnight owl. I love working through the night. So I think I'm going to be super, super busy. This company recently listed on the Oslo Stock Exchange, and, you know, the pressure's on to expand and provide an alternative sort of sustainably grown seafood to the world. They're really sort of a compassionate, kind, and gentle on the planet manner. So that's super cool. And I also love, you know, fish feed development. It was part and parcel of what I did before I rejoined the aquarium, and finding alternative sources, because I think the perception out there is that you use a lot of fish to grow fish, and that's so not the case, because it's actually can't afford to do that. Mm-hmm. So it's just looking at using byproducts in existing agri-industries actually to develop really sustainable food sources as well. So it's all very exciting, and I'm obviously going to really miss my team and my ocean network here, but we've learned through COVID and lockdown how easy it is to stay connected. It doesn't matter where you are in the world. And I'll always use any opportunity I can find to share the love and spread the ocean passion. And I'll be living in Zeeland, which is right on the ocean and on the water, so which excites me a lot. And in fact, I mean, I've had a few offers in the last year, and I kept thinking I can't go to the Northern Hemisphere because I work on my own built-in little solar panels. I love warm climate. Yeah. And then I went to Antarctica with three young men, of course. And I was like, oh, my hat, I love the cold too. It was amazing because we were swimming in Antarctica. So now I just want to go to every cold place I can find and have a quick swim. And we had such nice gear. So I'm not so scared of the cold anymore. And that was a big contributing factor, actually, is like, hey, I'm going to cope. So it's an exciting journey. But, yeah, like I mentioned, wherever I go, I'll just continue to inform and inspire people so that we can just create a more positive impact on our planet, which is really special because we've got amazing people, and I believe in people. I really do.
Mareka, thank you so much for all you have done in the years contributing to marine conservation in Cape Town, and that informing, inspiring and encouraging people is what you have done so well. And we've always loved having you on the show. Our very best wishes to you and Finn and Kai as you head off on the next big adventure. And when you decide you need to come back for a warm water surf, please pop in to visit.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for always being awesome and supporting all our work and love for the ocean. We really appreciate it, Pippa, and all your listeners.
Mareka Musson, the outgoing head of the Two Oceans Aquarium Education Foundation. We wish her well. Very exciting to hear the story of how aquaculture doesn't have to be an ugly, detrimental industry. It's exciting to hear somebody with a conservation background speaking with such enthusiasm about the potential to do it a different way. And I have no doubt she's going to make huge impressions over in the Netherlands.